This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. My name is Patsy Gill. One of the joys in life is to see your words on paper. But writing is a solitary process. Writers tend to stay cramped up in a small room, alone with only their characters to talk to, rarely emerging to see the sun. That's why it is important to get out and meet other writers, share stories about writer's block, or bounce ideas off each other to get inspired. In just 10 days, right here in Tampa Bay area, we have a chance to get out in the sunshine and meet 60 writers at the Beach Babes Book Bash on April 11th. Today I have in the studio Megan Smith and Kim Smith. They're not sisters, but they're good friends and write together, who will tell us more about this exciting event. Hi, Megan. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Tell me a little bit about the Beach Babes Book Bash.
So Beach Babes Book Blast is an event where we've got about 60 authors coming together, and they are going to be bringing some of their cover models, and they're going to be sharing their work with us. The Holiday Inn West Shore has graciously given us some room to congregate. We have got wonderful events planned, VIP after parties, and it's just going to be a good time for all of us to get together and share our work. We've got hundreds of readers in attendance who are coming to meet some of their favorite authors and models, and it's just overall going to be a great time.
Well, it sounds exciting. How did you come up with the idea?
Megan and I, we write together, and we've been to several events where we've been asked to sign for our work, and we kind of just saw that there was a need in the Tampa Bay area to come and, you know, have this event, and so we decided, why not?
Well, this is exciting. So 60 writers?
Yes, we've got 60 writers and coming to join us, as well as we're at 9 models that'll be joining them. So the inspiration and the muses behind their writing will be with them too for people to meet.
Oh, that's exciting. Today I have a guest from Portland, Oregon, and I know that she would be very, very happy if she could be joining us at the event. We have some music here to put us in the mood. Hi, Maggie. Are you there?
I am. Hello, Patsy.
Hi. It's so great that you could join us. I have in the studio today the organizers for a very special book signing event here, an author's get-together called Beach Babes Book Blast. I'm sure you would love to be here instead of in Portland.
I sure would, and I actually love Tampa and have several writer friends down in that area. So,
well, perhaps they'll be known
in advance, I would have flown out.
Well, next year we'll have you here, that's for sure. Now, you know, there's so many things to talk to you about, Maggie. You're such a prolific writer, but I've had a lot of questions from people about young adult fiction, and so I thought today we'd talk about young adult fiction, and particularly fantasy fiction, which is growing in popularity. And I must say, when I was looking for great examples, I came across your series, Chameleon, The Forest People. For this series, you used a great pen name, Maggie Fair. Tell me, have you always been interested in fantasy?
Yes, I have. Science fiction and fantasy since probably about the age of 8. So it's been something I've read quite a bit all the way through childhood and into college, and still read today. And in fact, the first things that I published were science fiction and fantasy short stories. So it's always been a big love of mine.
Well, in the Chameleon books, you have really created a character, Cameron Painter, who turns into anyone she sees, a 16-year-old with an uncontrollable gift that she must learn to control. This must have been a major process for you to not only write an interesting story about somebody learning to control their powers, but also to create the entire universe of that you've created.
Yes, it was really quite fun. I really wanted to use that kind of chameleon concept because teenagers especially are in that place in life where they want to be anyone but themselves, it seems. You know, they want to fit in, they want to look like who the popular kids look like, or they want to be like their best friend or someone else. And I thought, what would be a way to really play on that? And for me, being a human chameleon, which sometimes as a parent you think that's what your kids are doing anyway, but if it was uncontrolled, if you couldn't even stop yourself from turning into someone, and for her, she turns into men as well as women, so it's quite not something she really wants to do. It's not fun, and in fact, it is a bit painful when she goes through the transition. So that was really kind of the starting point. But I love creating worlds, and although it is very time consuming, I just like figuring out how a world that is completely different from ours would work. You know, what the rules are, what the politics are, what it looks like, what the powers different types of characters have. So it's quite a blast, and this particular series is actually scheduled for 7 books, so I'll be in this world for a while.
Well, you've created some really unique features, and I enjoy the process of seeing how you came out with ideas, just how she changes, and some of the other characters. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the other characters in the book?
Well, in the first book, the characters that she encounters when she leaves her normal world, which is kind of the world that you and I know, are called forest people, and they consist of some shapeshifters that move from more human-like visages into cat-type visages. They also consist of what we would call fairies, probably today. And then there are some really kind of horrible things, you know, large dinosaur-like birds. And what I tried to do is I really looked at myths around the world of different types of creatures that used to be really remembered.
Yeah, I know some of the characters were drawn from Scottish mythology.
Right. In this first book, I use a lot of Gaelic mythology in mm-hmm. general. In subsequent books, I use some other types of mythology from other parts of the world. From Canada, from South America, from China. So, because this world encompasses the entire world, and as she travels from one forest to another, she's going to encounter actually different types of people, which are going to be reflective of those areas of the world. So, it's been really fun. I've done a lot of research and trying to figure out not only those characters in terms of the way they're presented in the past in myth, but then trying to bring them into things that we can identify with today is a constant challenge.
Well, writers are always interested in the process. Tell me, what computer program do you write in?
I use Microsoft Word.
And you managed to do all that in Microsoft Word? That's a lot of research.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic. Now, one of my listeners sent in a question. How do you know if a book is middle grade or young adult? She's written a book, also a fantasy, but she's a seventh grade teacher, and she wants to keep it to the sort of 12 to 15-year-old range. Where's the sort of, how do you know when you're moving into young adult instead of...
Right. Of course, these age ranges are really quite fluid, and it's changed quite a bit in the past couple decades. But
oh, that's
right
true.
Now,
no, we don't. The things that 12 or 15-year-olds know today are things we didn't know until we were in our 20s.
Yes, or later.
True.
But right now, middle grade is really considered a book written for 8 to 12-year-olds. And so what that means is that they're really not teenagers yet. They're usually chapter books, And they run around 30 to 40,000 words, which in pages that is somewhere around 120 to 150 pages. So if you're a listener is targeting more like 12 to 15-year-olds, she is in YA, but at the lower end of the YA market. What's happened in the YA market is that it used to be about 12 to 19-year-olds, but as more and more graphic books and issue books about violence and sex and bullying and those kinds of things came out, it really started to trend upwards. What I would say is more of the 15 to 21-year-old crowd or so. And so what happened is the market, wanting to differentiate those books from the less graphic books and, you know, not the, the heavy language kinds of books, they kind of created another market called the teen market, which is more of the 12 to 15-year-old market. And it sounds like that's probably what she's writing. And in that teen market, you're not supposed to swear, although I'm sure there's a book out there where they do. They have some of the same problems of YA, but it's just less intense and less graphic. And there's definitely no sex. So that's kind of the way that it ends up. The actual YA market, as it stands today, really is around the 15 to 21-year-old. And then there's a whole new market, which used to be considered YA, which is called new adult, which is for those teens who are just getting out of high school, now are officially adults, but still transitioning from that time of their life when they're legally a child to legally adults, figuring out what's their new job or going to college or joining the military. Those kinds of things are in that. So YA has changed quite a bit, even just in the last decade.
So how big is the YA fantasy fiction market? Are these the Harry Potter generation readers?
Yes, I think that is some of them. I also think that there's a lot of people, readers who are coming in that didn't read Harry Potter. How big is it? You know, the YA fiction market as a whole is probably somewhere around 10,000 books a year. And I would say that the vast majority of that is probably evenly divided between the paranormal, which is fantasy, science fiction world, and the kind of romance. So,
For your book, I know that your degree is in psychology, right?
I do have a master's in psychology.
So,
yes.
Did you draw a lot for your developing your fantasy world on psychology?
I did a bit. You know, it's always hard to know because as you grow older, everything mashes up in your mind. I think just as much I probably drew on my own experience as a teenager, which is what I think writers really need to do. You know, you have to really remember all that angst and drama and the belief that both the world may end tomorrow if you don't do the right thing and the belief that you can, in fact, save the world at any time. You need to be in that headspace to write YA because that's the way that young adults feel and think.
And I have another question from one of my listeners, and Allison wants to know, now she's written also a fantasy. Now her fantasy is all animals, all based on animals, everything from, you know, dogs and cats to bunny rabbits, and it living in a fantasy world. And she wanted to know if the copyright law protects her characters. She's thinking that someday she hopes to be able to, you know, make animals based on these characters, which some of them sound a little scary that she's described to me. But you never know, you know, kids like strange toys. So, but does a copyright protect her, or does she need to do something more than that?
Well, so here's where I always have to start off and say I'm not an attorney and I don't even play one on TV. So don't take anything I say as legal advice. However, what I can say is that in general terms, fully drawn literary characters are subject to copyright protection. And you are protected from other people using that character. However, Having said that, it's really not that simple. And when you're talking about animals, it becomes even more difficult. The thing to remember about copywriting a book is that you're not copywriting one character or one set of words or just the plot or the title. What you're copywriting is the way that the entire work comes together in its very unique form. Because we all use the same words and we all use a lot of the same types of plot ideas. And so that means that you're copywriting the unique descriptions of places and characters. And so if these characters, even though they're animal, have very unique personalities, unique ways that they act or talk or role or whatever it is that they do in their world, it is copyrighted. But the place that writers often get confused is that, let's say if this animal is a dog that's purple with red dots, walks with a limp, sings in a high tone, always runs after skunks, that starts to make it unique, as opposed to this is my dog who's a golden retriever who's cuddly and loves to lick my face and full of energy. Then that's not distinctive. All golden retrievers are kind of like that. So that's the first thing is, how unique is the character? The second part of the question, which is really even more difficult and even further beyond my personal understanding, has to do with making toys out of characters, which is what I think you're talking about. And selling them and wanting to license those sales. And I believe, again, you really need to talk to an attorney, is that that probably is not protected by copyright because it's probably not derivative. It's not derivative of the words and the way in which everything was put together in that work. And what I've seen in the market anyway is that when people take characters or animals and they want to make toys out of them, is that they need to be trademarked. And trademark registration is a very different process from copyright. It is still registering intellectual property. However, you're registering a specific image and a specific description. Think of Mickey Mouse, for example. Mickey Mouse is trademarked. And so in order to do that, you have to do a search. Given your image and your unique description.
Well, luckily, in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a entertainment lawyer on, and I'm sure he can add, some more information to Allison's question. Now,
wonderful.
It looks like it's a little bit more complicated than she thought. Now, Maggie, we're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, I want to ask you some more about your writing and your books.
All right, thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Graduations are coming up. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china, you will find just what you're looking for. One that says, you care. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo, the Silver Queen is the place to go. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
The biggest air show in the South is back in Lakeland. Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo celebrates its 41st year all week long, April 21st through April 26th. This year promises to be bigger, faster, and louder than ever before. Experience the heart-thumping, awe-inspiring performance of the Breitling Jet Team's U.S. debut and the Air Force Thunderbirds. See thousands of aircraft both in the air and on display, and an open flight line of historic warbirds. Sun and Fun offers fun for the whole family with daily air shows, a kids zone, a classic car show, and lots of great food. Florida residents can make it a weekend the family will remember by coming Saturday, April 25th and Sunday, April 26th to experience three shows for the price of one. See the Breitling team perform at 3 p.m. Stay for the Night Air Show, which includes aerobatic flyers, pyrotechnics, and a dazzling fireworks display. And come back Sunday for an additional show. Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo, celebrating its 41st year all week long, April 21st through April 26th in Lakeland. It's bigger, it's faster, it's louder, it's Sun and Fun.
Hi, it's Sawyer from the Dolphin Tale movies. Now is the perfect time to visit the world-famous Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Millions have seen us around the world, and now you can experience what we do in person. Come and reconnect with Winter and her fun-loving movie co-stars, Hope, Mavis, and yes, that crazy bird Rufus. Immerse yourself into the world of marine life rescue with the behind-the-scenes tour. Explore the film sets, and don't miss our free boating adventure. Save time in line when you buy tickets at seawinter.com. Kids only $16.95.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and we're back with my guest, Maggie Lynch. Now, Maggie writes under many names, and I know, Maggie, one of the books that you've written under your own name is DIY Publishing. It was, I think, one of the first books to discuss self-publishing. And with all the changes in the publishing arena in the past few years, can you tell my listeners about the importance of building a platform?
Sure. What happens in traditional publishing is that a publisher tries to put together for you a brand, what types of books you write, and who you are, and those kinds of things. And so as an independent publisher, you need to do that same type of thing. You need to figure out what it is exactly that you write and to be known for that. Now, if you write a lot across many genres like I do, that sounds to be a bit difficult. It's much more easier to have a platform when you are writing fiction that is, you know, just romance or just young adult fantasy. But when you write across many of those, you need to kind of decide, you know, what is the messages? We all have things that we're coming back to again and again in our stories, no matter what they are. And the platform then sells you with those types of message content. And building a platform has everything to do with not only talking about your books and your stories, but talking about all the things surrounding them, and doing that in a variety of places, which would mean on your website, having the same colors everywhere, having the same keywords that you're using, on your blogs, on Twitter, on Facebook, all the places that you're going. It's just really important to be consistent so that people get to know you and what that fictional platform is, and then they know if they see your name and buy a book by you exactly what they're going to get.
Now, are there particular social forms of social media that you prefer? Do you do a lot of Facebook, Twitter?
You know, that's a really difficult question because I, if I had it my way, I would prefer not to do social media. But I've learned to enjoy parts of it. Probably between Facebook and Twitter, I enjoy Facebook a little more just because trying to get thoughts out there in 150 characters is really quite difficult. However, many, many people, and particularly young people, are on Twitter, and so you do have to kind of understand how to use that. The couple platforms that I've really grown to love are Pinterest and Instagram, which are very visually oriented. I have a Pinterest page, particularly for Maggie Fair, where I've put up not only the books, but the world and, you know, pictures that I used as I was creating the world. And so that's really fun for me. And I also love to blog. After all, I am a novelist, and so that means that I can talk forever and write forever, and blogging gives me a platform that allows me to do things in a little longer form than any of the other social media does.
Now, one thing, your cover art is spectacular. I hope, you know, everyone will go to your website because each of your books is different. the styles are different from the different pen names you use, but they are all really, you have a must have a really great eye and also great designers, because they are really very, very, very good covers.
Well, thank you. I am very blessed, and I don't do them myself. Even though I have a technical background and understand how it's done, I really don't have an artist's eye. My cover art is done by someone named Christy Coffey with Gilded Heart Designs. Unfortunately, she's not taking on any new clients anymore, but she works for a number of different publishers, and she is just really tuned into genre. And the key with cover art is that, first, when someone looks at your cover, they have to know what genre you're writing in. And I believe that when people look at my fantasy series, they know it's fantasy from the cover. So there's not a question about that. When they look at my romance books, they know that they're romance. When they look at my science fiction, they know that it's science fiction.
Exactly. So the Chameleon, when I saw the cover to The Chameleon, I immediately said, I have to read that book. That it's just, I like the cover, you know, first, actually.
I agree, and it's interesting because I've had a lot of readers tell me that, people who didn't know me at all, and they said, I saw the cover and I just knew I had to read it. And that goes to show how important covers are, because most of us see covers online in this, you know, little tiny box. or maybe we see it in a store if the books are lucky enough to be there. So that is the first way that we encounter it, and having a good cover is really, really important and can make a huge difference. I can give you just one little example. The first two books in my Sweetwater Canyon romance series had a similar cover to what they have now, but it was darker, more black in the background, and the first one didn't have a male, didn't have a couple on it. It was just the female. And the book sold, but they didn't really do very well. And I talked to some people about it, and this was before I met Christy. Someone else had done those covers. And, you know, they said, you know, it just doesn't say romance to me. So when I got the rights back on those two books and decided I was going to continue the series, and I redid the covers and I'd lightened them up, and I'll tell you, it made a huge difference in sales. I mean, literally, my sales doubled just because the cover, because the story hadn't changed.
Well, that's a great lesson.
Huge.
Exactly. I tell all new writers that it's worth the investment to get a good cover and also to get a good editor. I was talking to one writer, and he said to me, well, I've done it. It's finished. That's it. Not a word needs to be changed. And I said, well, I don't know about that. Have you had anybody read it besides your mother? And so that's, you know, so that's the situation with a lot of writers. They don't understand that when they type the end, it's not the end. And one of the things I think, I'm not sure, I think I heard you mention it or write a blog, maybe blog about using beta readers. What are beta readers for new writers, and how do you go about finding them?
So beta readers are the people that you actually expect to read your story, the right age range, people who read in the genre that you write, and they need to be people who you don't know personally. So, you know, not your brother, sister, mother, best friend, or people related to them who are likely afraid to tell you if they don't like your book. And also, if they don't read in your genre or they're not your target audience, they're not really giving you good information. And so what beta readers do is that they tell you, my beta readers for Chameleon, for example, I asked other writers who I know by reputation but aren't really close to and who have teenage children if they would perhaps allow me to send them the manuscript, because I wanted... My books are targeted for about the 15 to 18-year-old range, and so that's what I wanted. So I had five of them. I read the book, and I only asked three questions. One is, did you like it? Did you finish it? And were there any characters that you loved or hated? And I got amazing feedback from them with a lot of exclamation points, both about things they liked and things they didn't like. And so for me, it was a great way to discover, you know, well, how are teens going to be reading this? I'm not a teenager anymore. I'm quite a ways from that. And I'm not always up with exactly what teens of today are reading. And they're really fine with being very honest with you. Not mean, but just honest. So I think it's imperative that you use that process. Now, where you use the process is debated among writers. You know, I use it when I've finished the book. I've done several drafts, and it's pretty clean, although probably not perfect. And that's when I send it out to my beta readers, because I anticipate I'm going to get back enough feedback that I'm going to make some changes in it, and sometimes major changes. And then after that, I send it to a developmental editor, who is someone who is a professional editor, understands my genre, and looks primarily for structure and content, and not line by line, you missed a period or you used the wrong verb or tense, but literally, how does the story go? You know, does it make sense? Does it hang together? And then after that, I send it to a proofreader who actually goes through and does all of the, you know, did you get the period and the right word? Did you use this word 100 times on the page? That kind of stuff.
Great.
So
now,
what
projects can we look forward to coming out soon? I know that you've got a lot of chameleons to write yet, but what else is coming out?
Well, my very next book coming out is the third book in my romance, contemporary romance, Sweetwater Canyon series, which is called Heartstrings. And it's about a
And that's
a
under Maggie Jameson, right? You write
Jameson, that's right. And then after that will be the third book in the Chameleon series, which is Chameleon the Summoning. That'll be coming out in the summer. And then after that will be the second book in a suspense series that I have going called The Shadow Finders. And so that'll be probably in the fall. And in between there, I'll be doing some short stories in magazines and things like that. So if I get all of those out in good timing, like, you know, early, and then I'll have a fourth book before the end of the year, but I'm not promising that yet.
Well, Maggie, thank you so much for joining me here today on Joy on Paper. I know that you share my joy in seeing your words come alive on paper, and I wish you could be here for Beach Babes Book Blast, because you would really love it, but perhaps next year you will be. And this year we have 60 writers here and their cover models, a lot of gorgeous-looking guys. So I hope that next year, as a matter of fact, you have a few good-looking guys on your covers. You could travel with one of your cover models, if not your husband, and
no, <it's> not.
join us here in Tampa Bay, because we'd really like to see you. And so thank you again, and I hope that you'll come back when you have one of your new projects to announce. And we'll stay in contact. Please give your website address so everyone can go and look at it.
Sure. It's maggielynch.com. That's maggielynch.com.
Okay. Well, I'm encouraging everyone, just click on and then click on the where she has all books, and you just see one cover after another, and it's really just a joy to look at. I'm looking at it right now on the screen, and everyone will really enjoy it. So again, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Patsy. It was a blast.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Graduations are coming up. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china, you will find just what you're looking for. One that says, you care. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo, the Silver Queen is the place to go. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wickiwatchee Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wickiwatchee State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring. At Buccaneer Bay, Wickiwatchee State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wickiwatchee.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wickiwatchee Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
Good Tuesday morning. This is Pryor Smith speaking from Toronto. In this, the final week of our winter broadcast season. Here are the news headlines for vacationing Canadians. Probing the Air Canada crash landing on the weekend at the airport in Halifax. The latest mortgage rate war, with a few new twists. It's been 40 years since the forced arrival of the metric system in Canada. All of those stories and more, please join me for Canada Calling. For 61 years, a daily update of Canadian news.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with the creators and organizers of Beach Babes Book Blast. And I am sure there was not only a lot of creating here, but a lot of organizing. I have with me Kim Smith and Megan Smith. Kim, tell me, how did you come out with this idea?
Well, it kind of came from Megan and I have been invited to other author signing events, and we just saw that there weren't really many here in Tampa, and we saw the need to have one, so we decided that we would put our two brains together and kind of come up with, you know, a clever name to get people down here after the long winter and all the snow they've been dealing with, and have them come down to join us for an author signing.
Oh, well, I think it's so clever, and it is a tongue twister, but I love it. I love it. It is exactly, it's Tampa Bay.
That's, exactly.
You know, that's what we are here. And it's so exciting that you're going to have 60 authors plus some cover models. So tell us more about it. Tell us about some of the authors. Megan, tell us about some of the authors.
So we have authors coming pretty much from all over the world. We've got them from Ireland coming in.
Wow.
L.A. Casey is coming from Ireland to join us. There's a couple from Canada coming. Some from even our own backyard right here. So a ton of new authors that are joining the industry and some authors that are huge, you know, huge sellers and huge hits with the readers. So it's a perfect opportunity to meet some of your favorites and to find some new reads to really fall in love with.
Well, I always tell writers that they have to get out there. And, you know, in the business world, it's called networking. But in the writing world, it's called making friends and making content, you know, people that we can then turn to and say, as my guest said, you know, you need beta readers. You need to reach out and meet other writers and find people who are into the type of books that you're writing, and hopefully make friends and let them read your book. So, Kim, who are some of the, you know, what are some of the things that are going to happen? Where is it taking place, and how what's the process here?
So
how do people go?
It's going to be taking place at the Holiday Inn on West Shore. They've been a huge asset to us in allowing us to utilize their facility. They just completely remodeled, so it's beautiful. And it's just, we're going to have it in one of the ballrooms during the day from 9 to 3. 10 to 3 will be the actual signing. And so that's when the readers get to come in and meet for the a lot of them are meeting these authors for the first time, and the cover models as well. So they'll come in, they'll get to buy, they have the opportunity to buy the paperbacks, get them signed, And then later on that night is kind of when the exciting part takes place. We've got a VIP after party that'll have a full DJ and photo booth. And so you get the opportunity to mingle with your cover models and the authors.
And get some selfies with the cover models. Girls, are you listening to me? All female readers out there, you can be on your own cover with one of the cover models. So do come and take selfies.
Yes, no, absolutely. The cover models that we have, we've been blessed to have amazing cover models attend this event. And we've been at many events with all of them, and they're just wonderful. So they're definitely interested in taking lots of selfies and meeting new friends, and they're very open to, you know, any questions that you have, the answer, lots of pictures. They'll definitely be removing some of their shirts during the after party.
Okay. Let's we need a fan in here. So Kim, just tell us just a little bit about yourself first.
So my name is Kim, but I pen name under K.S. Smith, and Megan and I kind of decided maybe 2 or 3 years ago that we had always written, but we never, you know, put it to paper, but we had never jumped into the world of becoming an author. We just thought, you know, that was something that we could never accomplish.
That's what I tell all my listeners. You're dreaming, but dreams do come true.
Exactly. And luckily for us, our dreams have definitely come true. I was lucky enough to release One Night With Him was my debut novel, and within 24 hours, it appeared on the Amazon top 100 best-selling list. So I could have never imagined in my wildest dreams that would have ever come true. And the following that both of us have together, we write solo on our own and we also write together. It's just amazing to see readers from all over who just devour your work in a matter of hours and just want more.
Now, Megan, tell us, what is the connection to the military? It's amazing. This whole story really comes down to your connection with the military.
It does. So our friendship beginning goes back to an organization called the Marine Families that Kim's mother is a part of. So my husband was in the Marine Corps for 8 years, and Kim's brother was in the Marine Corps. So we all kind of came together through the military, met, and then took off with it. And so that's kind of a huge inspiration behind the Beach Babes Book Blast of, you know, making it all come full circle and paying our tribute to the troops that are out there fighting to protect our country.
Well, tell us about the money that you are donating from this event. So people, you can go to, Kim will tell us where to get tickets and where you can go get tickets, but tell us where the money's going.
So all of the money, every penny that comes in, once we get to pay out all the costs of the event, which luckily many of the vendors are keeping very minimal, will be 100% donated to the Run for the Fallen Tampa Bay event. And it's an event where it's hosted locally every year. Megan and I are in charge of hosting the event. And it's a tribute to the fallen heroes from Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. And last year we had over 5,000 people come out, with over 60 Gold Star families who were in attendance. And a Gold Star family is somebody who has lost a service member, their family member, in the line of duty. And they come out, and we get to spend 2 days honoring them and just hosting this incredible event that is so touching and so moving to the community. Tons of people from MacDill Air Force Base come out. They come out as units. They run together. It's just an incredible event. And we, along with all of the authors, are just completely thrilled to be able to be making such a significant donation to this organization.
Oh, I think it's a beautiful tribute, and I hope that everyone will get out there and buy the tickets. And where do they go to get the tickets?
So for the tickets, there's three options. All of them can be purchased on eventbrite.com by searching for Beach Babes Book Blast. You can also go to our website. It's tampabbb.blogspot.com. And then there's three options when you get there. We actually have a special ticket specifically for military family members where they can come in. They get in 30 minutes early and get a free signed paperback from one of the authors that are there. And then we have the event-only ticket, and then there's another ticket option for if you want to spend all day with us and not get rid of us at the after party. Come down and celebrate with us, cut loose, and, you know, enjoy the entire evening with us.
This is amazing. And now I know this is your first year, but I really hope that this turns into the first annual and that we see more of this, because it's not just that it's a wonderful opportunity for all writers and all readers to meet authors, but to know that what you're doing is helping and giving back to all of the people who have, given so much to us, and that we have to be so grateful to them. Now, you're both Marines supporters, and I'm a big fan of the Air Force because I'm working on a project called Forgotten F-105 Warriors. So I hope that everyone will come out, I'm also for Army, so don't get upset. And then my father won a Silver Star, and he was in World War II. And the Navy, I love them because I love the uniforms. there's nothing quite as gorgeous as a Navy guy. So tell us a little bit more. We have a few more minutes. Tell us a few more about some of the authors. Kim.
So some of the authors, we've got a wide variety coming. We've got some of the authors such as Shel Bliss and Stacey Burrell, USA Today bestsellers.
Now, when we were talking about, with my other guest, we were talking about young adult fantasy fiction. Now, what type of books are represented in your show?
The majority of the books that are going to be represented are romance novels, but we've got across the board. We've got some local authors who have done, some biographies on Tampa people here in the area. We've also got, there's some young adult coming.
Young adult, paranormal, all the way to erotica. So literally we've got something for everybody, for both an author coming to network or a reader coming to meet the author. So, I mean, it's everything. It's like the superstore of book world is going to be there.
Well, with the everybody liking to have selfies nowadays, I think this is, it's fun. It's really nice, when you meet somebody and you can get a photo with them and then show it to all your friends and brag and say, ha, I did it. So it's a wonderful opportunity. When people come out, it's at the West Shore, right, in Tampa?
Yes, the Holiday Inn West Shore.
Holiday Inn at West Shore. And the time, again, that it starts is?
10 a.m., and it goes through 3 p.m., and then the VIP after party is from 8 until midnight.
Okay, and is the VIP extra cost?
Yes. Tickets, general admission tickets to the event only are $20, which mm-hmm. is on the Eventbrite site, and then the VIP after party is $40.
Okay. Well, I hope that people will go to the website and will have a look at it, because I think this is a wonderful opportunity. And when you talk about the military and it's so close to your heart, how is your brother?
He's good. He was injured in 2006. He's actually getting ready to celebrate his Alive Day, as they call it, the day that you were injured. And so he's doing really well. He went through the Wounded Warrior Project TRAC program, which is a rehabilitation college program. And he took on a job at the Naval Base in Jacksonville, Florida. So he's living in Jacksonville, and he's doing really well.
That's fantastic. And let's see, any other things that we have to talk about here? You've covered everything. So I think that the important thing is that if everybody will go to Eventbrite and get a ticket, and let us know afterwards, and you can send me some of your selfies. Go to my website. It's patsygill.com, and so it's patsygill.com, and once you have your selfies, send me some photos. Last week and the week before, I told you about the West Coast Players One Act Play Contest. The deadline is coming up, so please go to my website and think about submitting your one act play. Just one other thing, Megan, tell me what is your the writer that you're most anxious for everyone to see?
Oh, goodness. You're putting me on the spot, having me pick one. I don't know that I can do that. They're all so fantastic. I mean, like Kim said, we've met several of them. So, it's so nice to meet them all. Lee, L.A. Casey, who's from Ireland, I think she's, because she's from so far. So we've got to hang out with her in September. So I'm pretty excited for her to come back and hang out with her. And her accent is, I love the accent when she starts talking.
So, and it was your bright idea for this, for the two of you.
The two of us together.
It is amazing that you came up with the idea and the name and everything. And this, you swung into action, right? How long did it take you?
We've been planning for almost a year now. Yeah, we've been planning.
Well, you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Now, next week, my guest will be best-selling author Douglas Brunt, whose first book, Ghosts of Manhattan, is one of the best books written about Wall Street. He's a great storyteller, and his new book, The Means, is one that you need to read. It's about the inside of a presidential campaign. A fictional presidential campaign, which might be more fun than the current presidential campaign. So I would suggest go out and get Doug's book, and we will have him on the show next week. This is Patsy with a Z, wishing you a great week. Remember, one of the joys in life is to see your words on paper or spoken on stage or screen. So this week, take some time to write, one page at a time. In a month, you will have your first chapter. Join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, joy is not an option, it is an order. So find your joy and share it.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Graduations are coming up. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china, you will find just what you're looking for. One that says, you care. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo, the Silver Queen is the place to go. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
The biggest air show in the South is back in Lakeland. Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo celebrates its 41st year all week long, April 21st through April 26th. This year promises to be bigger, faster, and louder than ever before. Experience the heart-thumping, awe-inspiring performance of the Breitling Jet Team's U.S. debut and the Air Force Thunderbirds. See thousands of aircraft both in the air and on display, and an open flight.